Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. The way was what they originally called, I guess what we call Christianity now. You know, because these were the people who followed the way of Christ. And as we see in today's, our first reading from the book of Acts, you have Saul, who we know also as Paul. That's not unusual back then. Saul would have been his Hebrew name, where Paul would have been his Greek name. You know, in a world of commerce as Paul was in, it would not have been unusual for that person to have a name that was probably more common to the Greek and Roman world. So we hear about Saul, who decides he's going to go out and arrest the followers of Jesus, the members of the way. And he obtains warrants to do so from the high priests, so that he may bring them to the different synagogues to show that he had the official capacity in which to do this. And not only men, but also women. In other words, you know, because generally, hands off, was basically the understanding that hands off of women, So, but Paul could basically bound either and bring them in. Now, here's one of those odd things where we see something that's legal, that's official, but it's not right. Legally, by the law of his people, Paul was able to go out and arrest these people who they thought as blasphemous. So he had the official capacity, but it wasn't right. Paul was righteous, but he wasn't right. And we see this many times. It wasn't that many years, if you really look at it, that women have been able to vote and own property because the law prevented them to do so. Not right, but it was the law. Slavery was a 300-year tradition in this country. Legal, but not right, as was apartheid in South Africa. And now we see in various states the so-called religious freedom laws that have nothing to do with religion, nothing to do with freedom, but are about segregating a group of people. This time it's the LGBT community. So just because something's legal doesn't make it right. And just because we feel righteous doesn't mean that we are doing the right thing. And we have Paul who rides out ready to bring all these people in. He goes out vigilante style. And we have that wonderful scene which we refer to as the conversion of St. Paul, where basically Jesus literally knocks Paul onto his backside and asks Paul, "Why are you persecuting me?" And of course, Paul at first doesn't quite understand what's going on here, until he is made aware that this is Jesus. And not only is this the risen Lord, this is the Messiah. And we're told that Paul is struck blind and he's brought away for a few days to go rest and pray and to meditate. And the voice of God speaks to Ananias, a disciple, and says, "Go to Paul." And of course, Ananias, has some common sense. He goes, "Isn't this the guy who's arresting people like us?" But like a good disciple, he goes and he begins the process in which Paul learns about Jesus. He learns about the way, about the good news. And of course, as we know, Paul becomes one of the greatest, you know, apostles. He's the one who brought the word out to the wider world. He went from doing what he thought was righteous to doing what was right. And the wonderful thing is that Christ gave him this opportunity. Now in our reading today from the gospel, we have that scene. It's the third time they see the risen Lord. Now they've already seen Jesus twice since the resurrection. Yet they don't seem to quite get it yet. You have the group of apostles unsure about what they're supposed to do next. And so they go back to what they're used to. Simon Peter says, let's go fishing. And so they go back to the life they used to know before Jesus. They go back to what's comfortable. Instead of moving forward, they try to move backwards. And of course, Jesus shows up and is having none of this. They come to the shore. They recognize him finally. They catch 153 fish. I don't know about the significance of why 153, but apparently it was important enough for John to write about. And you have Jesus start this conversation with Peter. And he starts asking Simon, do you love me? And you have Peter, of course, I love you, Jesus. And Jesus going, feed my lambs. A little time comes by. Jesus says to Peter again, Simon, do you love me? And Peter's like, well, yes, you know I love you, Jesus. And you have Jesus going, tend my sheep. One or two passes, and then Jesus asks a third time, Simon, do you love me? Now this time, we heard that Peter's hurt. He's probably feeling more than a little guilty. Because a few days earlier, when it came the time of Jesus' arrest, when it came to the dinner that we often refer to as the Last Supper, and Jesus is talking about how they're going to come and arrest him and everybody's going to run and betray him, Peter is the one who says, Jesus, that'll never happen. I'll be right by you. And of course, Jesus saying, you know, Peter, before the end of the night, you're going to deny me three times before the morning, before the rooster crows. And of course, Peter's like adamant, no, this isn't going to happen. And of course, we know that Peter, after he's questioned by first the serving girl and a couple of other people, each time he denies that he knows Jesus, that he's a follower. And of course, the rooster crows. And of course, Peter goes away feeling, you know, feeling horrible. You know, it's like he did exactly what he said he wasn't going to do. And so he's sitting there on the shore now a few days later, and Jesus is going, keeps on asking him, do you love me? And can you imagine what it must be going on inside of Peter's gut at that time? What's going on in his head? Wondering if this is where, you know, the boom's going to come down and Jesus is going to tell me how horrible of a human being I am and tell me to get lost. And so for the third time, Peter says, Jesus, you know me. You can see inside me. You know what's in my heart. You know that I love you. And that third time, Jesus says, feed my sheep. In other words, in spite of the errors he may have made, in spite of denying and running away, despite the fact that even after seeing the risen Lord, he still is trying to go backwards. Not only is Jesus forgiving him, not only is Jesus still loving him, Jesus wants Peter to take over, you know, to take care of these followers that have already started following Jesus. He wants him to take care of what we refer to as the church. Now, common sense, Jesus would have probably dropped him like a hot potato. If Jesus was being righteous, he could have just very easily said to the 11 remaining disciples, you know, you guys, you know, messed up. I'm finding somebody else. But he doesn't. He sends them out to continue the work he has prepared them to do. We have Paul, who is going out, you know, arresting. Paul, you know, before this scene where we see Paul beforehand, he's standing there watching the coats as people stone St. Stephen. And then we have this scene where he's going out and arresting people for following Jesus. And, you know, any smart man would say, keep away from that guy. But Jesus calls him to be an apostle, to be the guy who brings the word, the way to people throughout the world. We don't have the funny thing about Jesus, our Messiah, this isn't a guy who works on common sense, which is probably pretty lucky for people like me. You know, this is a Savior who can see past those things in our life that may seem flawed. Heck, this is a Savior who takes those flaws and turns them to his advantage. Because it's not the wonderful parts of us that I think attract people to our faith. It's this understanding that in spite of our errors, in spite of our flaws, our character defects, in spite of anything we may have done in the past, Jesus is still calling us to proclaim the good news. Instead of being righteous, Jesus does what is right. And he calls us to do the same thing. He calls us to go out and proclaim the good news, not just to selected people, but to everyone. He calls us to go out and take care of not just fellow Christians, but everyone. Jesus wants us to love our neighbor, not just the person in the pew next to us, but the person out there. Because we're all made in God's image. We all have this opportunity to come to Christ. We're all called to go past what seems like common sense and proclaim this guy who got nailed to a cross as our Savior. Each of us has been asked that question time and time again. We may not realize it. We may not have heard it in words, but at least in our heart have been asked by Jesus, do you love me? Now, what he's trying to do is not shame us, but to bring us back, to call us to the work that he has prepared us for, So as we go out in this Easter season, this time in which we celebrate the resurrected Lord, we go past just being in here in these Sunday mornings. We bring it out to the world. We get to share what Jesus means to us and what has happened in our own lives. You know, most people are not interested in some great theological argument about why they should come to Jesus. What they want to know is how it has changed you. What has Jesus done to your own life? Jesus isn't looking for brilliant scholars. He's looking for people who are willing to be honest and to tell their story, warts and all. To let other people know that ours is a God who loves us no matter what, that will call us to proclaim his good news no matter how flawed we think our past is. So my brothers and sisters, I encourage you during this, not only just this time of Easter, but always, to look at all the various flawed people that you see in Scripture. People like Peter and Paul, any of the other apostles, people who all common sense screams, forget them. Don't trust them. That Jesus has turned around and used, has called, who has brought the word of God to all people. The way is Christ. And you're all called to present that to other people. So, my brothers and sisters, I encourage you to do so, to go out and proclaim the good news. Not just to one another, but to everyone you meet.